Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. Mark's today. If I were to ask you, could you be a better Christian? I think some of you would probably have the playful response of, well, Pastor, you can't improve on perfection. And part of you would be joking, but part of you would be absolutely correct. Because in Jesus, we are perfect people. God sees us as perfect and holy, and we're going to be with him as his perfect, holy children forever. But until then, it is our job and our responsibility to continually grow in God's word, to continue to grow closer to Jesus, closer to one another, and by doing so, God makes us better and better Christians. So today we're going to take Jesus up on his call, and we are going to pray, Jesus, make us better Christians, especially when it comes to handling sin and handling forgiveness and handling humility. So may God bless us, hear our prayer, and answer that prayer, and make us better Christians this morning. The order of worship, as always, is printed in the worship booklet, and we open with a hymn that reminds us what a privilege it is to be in God's house this morning, number 226. Let us worship the Lord. Direct our attention to page 3 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Almighty God, in your bountiful goodness, keep us safe from every evil of body and soul. Make us ready with cheerful hearts to do whatever pleases you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. One of the blessings for which we are going to pray today is the blessing of humility. King David certainly models that in the first lesson as he was the king, as he worked hard, as he fought for, as he led the people and accumulated a massive wealth. He said it all came from the Lord, and it brought him great pleasure to see the vast majority of this wealth was going to be used to build a temple to the Lord. May God so bless us with such insight and humility. The first lesson is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God: gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze,
iron for the iron and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow, without hope. O Lord our God, as for this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand. All of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. O Lord, God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep this desire in the hearts of your people forever and keep their hearts loyal to you." This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day for this morning is Psalm 27 on page 8 in the worship booklet. After the choir has introduced the refrain, we will sing the refrain with the choir, and then we'll join the choir in singing the refrains as they are throughout the psalm. Psalm 27.
Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is
The second lesson is recorded in Romans chapter 6. We're going to use this lesson as part of the sermon to answer the question, why? Why should we care if we are standing guard, if we are doing what God says, or we aren't? St. Paul helps us walk through those thoughts by reminding us that when we don't care, we make ourselves slaves to sin and put ourselves under God's judgment. And when by God's grace we pursue what he encourages us to pursue, then we are slaves to righteousness, living as his children, giving glory to him, being a blessing to other people, and strengthening our own faith. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to somebody to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 17. This lesson is the basis for the sermon this morning. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you are told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the choir end.
far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our guilt, our shame, our sin from us, so that he could call us his very own. If I were to ask you this morning, what makes a Christian? How would you answer? Are you a Christian because of the things you do? Does that make you a Christian? Or are you a Christian because of the way you live, because of the way you talk, the things you say? Are you a Christian because you're here this morning? And in a few minutes, we're going to confess our faith together with the Nicene Creed. Is that what makes you a Christian? And while you're chewing on that, I have a follow-up for you. What makes you a better Christian? Are you a better Christian because you do better things? Are you a better Christian because you know the top five qualities of good Christians and you pursue those with all your heart every day and you know there's people who don't? Or maybe you're into the standardized testing of Christians, kind of like when you're in school. You know, as long as you are better than 90% of those who profess to be Christians, you're doing okay and you're good. Or maybe you're more of a bell curve type person. You're good as long as you're right in the middle of the curve. So sure, there's more people who are better than you at being a Christian, but there's this equal amount who aren't as good as you at being a Christian. What is it that makes you a Christian, and how do you get better and better at being a Christian? You know, when we have these questions, you can never go wrong asking God. Say, God, what makes me a Christian? Here's what God says in Colossians chapter 2, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins." So what is it that makes you a Christian? God made you a Christian. Whether you are on the top of the curve or the bottom of the curve in your own opinion, whether you do good or not so good at being a Christian in your own opinion, in God's opinion, you are a Christian. You are perfect and holy. That is what makes you a Christian. God, through his word and sacraments, makes you a Christian. And what about being a better Christian? Because you can't improve on the fact that God loved you in Jesus. He can't love you anymore. He has fully and freely forgiven you. He can't forgive you anymore by what you do or what you don't do. Here's what God says about being a better Christian. "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So not that you can ever be a better Christian in God's sight, but don't we want to get better at doing those things that God says Christians do? And saying those things that Christians say? And doing those things more often in our lives? Not so that God will love us more, but because God has perfectly and fully and completely loved us in Christ. Not so that we might have a more sure relationship with God, because we already do. But so that we can get better at saying thank you to him. And growing closer to him through word and sacrament, and being a blessing to our fellow Christians and our neighbors. And so to pursue those blessings, we're going to offer up a prayer to Jesus today. Jesus, make us better Christians, better at handling sin, better at handling forgiveness, and better at handling humility. Jesus was talking with his disciples, and about sin he said, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come." You know, fact is, we live in a sinful world. And even if you were to relocate to Mars or to the moon, guess what's going to go with you? Your sin, your sinfulness, and all the sin and sinfulness that causes us to stumble and fall, it's all going to be there too. These things that cause people to sin are bound to come. You just can't get away from that. But Jesus' point here is, don't be sin's lackey. Don't let sin use you to bring more sin into your life and into the lives of the people around you. Woe to that person through whom they come. If sin uses you to set a trap
or to trigger a trap, and then you get caught in that trap, or somebody in your life gets caught in that trap, Jesus says, woe to you. If by the lifestyle that you are modeling and witnessing, especially at home, or maybe at work, or maybe even here at church, if the lifestyle that you are modeling causes someone to pick up on that and they start doing the same things, Jesus says, woe to you. Because you brought sin into somebody's life. You didn't handle sin. He says, if by the way you handle God's word and the attitude toward you, that you have toward it, whether it's cavalier or this doesn't matter, and someone else picks up on that, Jesus says, woe to you for the sin that you brought into someone's world. If you know how to push someone's buttons and you love getting them upset because it makes you feel good, you've caused that person to sin. And Jesus says, woe to you for having caused that person to sin, for having set that sin trap. And I know it kind of sounds like, whoa, woe to you, oh, really scary. You know, it's almost like something you would see on a cartoon. You're reading in the paper, it says, woe to the one who opens this door. And you just kind of laugh it off. But listen to what Jesus says. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. You mean Jesus would rather see us struggling for our lives at the bottom of the lake than to have us set sin traps and to be sin's little lackey? That's exactly what he's saying. And yes, he's using hyperbole, but if we were at the bottom of the lake with a large stone tied around our necks, how many sin traps would we be able to set? How would we be able to be sin's lackey? And how could we cause other people to sin? We couldn't. And Jesus said it would be much better for us to be in that situation than to be sin's lackey and to be setting these sin traps and setting them off in our lives and in the lives of people near to us. Jesus says very plainly, so watch yourselves. Watch yourselves and pray, Jesus, make us better Christians, better able to handle sin, sin in our lives, sin that might cause someone else to sin. You know, Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, and they're a good example, not an example to make ourselves feel good because, well, we're not as bad as them, but really an example of what really goes on in our hearts, because they were not good at handling sin, and they were not good at handling forgiveness, and they were not good at handling humility. So about sin and forgiveness, Jesus told them, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times he comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. And they really weren't interested in doing that, because rather than talking about sin, they would say, well, we have no sin. And rather about talking about forgiveness, they'd say, no, you guys go fix this on your own. And one of the best examples we have in the Bible about that whole thing is Judas. And I know we're kind of jumping the church here a little bit, but Luke tells us Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. And they didn't say, no, there's a sin trap there, Judas. Don't do that. Instead, they were delighted. And they didn't comfort him when he came back and said, guys, look what I've done. They didn't handle his sin up front, and they certainly didn't handle forgiveness. When Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. Can you imagine that? A brother or sister comes to you and says, I'm struggling with this sin. And you say, I don't care, go ahead and do it. And then they come back and they say, why'd you do that? That's not my problem. You know, Friday night, few of you guys get together and you decide you're going to go out, get stinking drunk, and you're going to kind of pool together all your prescription meds at home. You're going to go out and have a good time, and you come and tell me about it, and I say, right on, boys, and I give you $20, buy a round for me. And then you go out and do whatever it is you're going to do, and then on Monday morning you come back and you say, you know, Pastor, I really feel horribly about what I've done. And I tell you, so? You should. You're horrible people. Now get out of my office. Or Friday night, your son comes up to you and says, Dad, I want the keys to the car. I'm going to go out with my friends, and we're going to have a good time.
We're going to go cruise down Sunrise, blow every red light until we get to Highway 50. And then we're going to go over to 80 and we're going to set a speed record on the interstate. And then you say, here's $20 for gas. Go have a good time. And then he calls you from jail. And he says, Dad, I need some help. And I've wrecked your car. And you say, what a miserable son. How could you ever do that? Get yourself out of it. Or you have a lifelong friend, and you have a huge fight. And the friend comes back and says, you know what, I'm really sorry about what I said, really sorry about what I did. And you say, you should be. Don't ever call me again. May God give us strength to be better Christians when it comes to handling sin and forgiveness. Jesus said, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. That's a tall order for anyone, especially for a Pharisee, especially for the chief priest. But what about for you? And what about for me? Confront sin up front and then be quick to forgive on the back end. May God give us the humility to do that. Because humility was another thing that the Pharisees were not real big on. They figured, okay, God gave us his word and we do it. We do it perfectly. In fact, we do more than God's word does. So certainly we are better than most. Certainly God likes us better than most. Certainly we have nothing to worry about. So Jesus told them this. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Would he not rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? God gave them his word. He told them how to live. And when they lived, was God supposed to say, oh, thank you. You guys are really great. Let me serve you. Let me wait on you. No, they did what God asked them to do. And God served them anyway by sending Jesus to die for them. But his point is, they were not real big on humility. But I think that attitude is easy to pick up on too, isn't it? Especially when you do grade yourself on the bell curve and you look at all the people, you know, 49% of people are worse than I am. And that makes you feel pretty good. Or you say, God tells me to do this, 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 and I do it. And I do it better than most people. And then you look at things that God doesn't really care about, he hasn't told you to do them, and you say, look at these additional things I do for you. Certainly God owes me something, and certainly those people who have sinned against me owe me something. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. And it goes back to the second lesson. Why should we care about any of this? Why should we try hard to be better Christians when we're doing okay? Because Jesus says none of this is optional. Jesus says be on your guard against these things. He says, woe to you if you set sin traps for other people and if you set them off in your own heart and in your own life. He says, woe to you. Or if we are not quick to forgive, if we are not quick to rebuke our brother or sister, Jesus says, woe to you. And the second we build ourselves up and say, you know what, God, you really owe me something. Or we look at a brother or sister and say, you owe me something before I'm going to love you and forgive you. That's when maybe we would wish we were at the bottom of the sea with a large stone around our necks rather than to have to answer to God and tell him why I didn't care what you said. Here's why we should care. St. Paul said, for the wages of sin is death. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the control of righteousness. You don't have to listen to God when you're sinning. You don't have to worry about heaven when you're sinning because you're not going to go there. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? It's a rhetorical, isn't it? No blessing, no benefit. Those things result in death. Jesus says, take these things seriously and be on your guard. If you want to know an even better reason for asking Jesus to help make you a better Christian, better at handling sin, better at handling forgiveness, better at handling humility? Because he loves you. St. Paul also said, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." He loves us and forgives us when we are sin's little lackeys and we do all kinds of sin and sinfulness and we get people to trip up too. Jesus loves us and forgives us when we repent and we tell him we're sorry. For those times that we don't handle forgiveness very well, we don't deal with it up front, and we're not quick to share forgiveness, Jesus died for those sins, and he always forgave, didn't he? Very quickly. He never lorded it over anyone. He never made anybody grovel. Even being the Son of God, he was perfectly humble for you and for me for the times we can't. And he died for all of our sins. St. Paul says, Jesus did that for you, and now we get to say thank you to Jesus back. And how do we do that? By being better Christians. Not being more forgiven or forgiven, because there is no such thing. We are perfectly forgiven in Christ. But better and better at saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. That's the kind of faith that Jesus has worked in your heart and in mine through his word, and the faith that he promises to strengthen through word and sacrament. So if you want to get better and better at uprooting mulberry trees and throwing them into the sea with your faith, knock yourselves out. Go for it. Pursue it. If you want to get better and better at greater things, like handling sin, in handling forgiveness, in handling humility, be in the Word of God. Be a frequent guest here, and Jesus will do great things in your hearts and in your lives. First and foremost, to his glory, also to the blessing of your brothers and sisters, your children, your friends, and one day we will be perfectly doing these things in heaven. May Jesus bless you as you pursue being a better Christian in his Word and in his sacraments. Amen. Please stand. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or even imagine, to the only God, our Savior Jesus, be all praise and glory and honor when he does these great things in our lives. Amen. We confess our Christian faith together this morning with the words of the Nicene Creed on page 11. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we praise and thank our God with our offering.
Worship continues with the responsive prayer of the church on page 12. In our prayer this morning, we will remember our brother Dan Moeller. Dan is going to go in for a hip replacement surgery this week, so we'll ask the Lord to go with him as well. We pray. O Lord our God, you are wise and powerful, good and gracious. Your mercies are new every morning. Each day you open your hand and provide for the needs of your children on earth. Strengthen your church in all the world. Let your comforting message of salvation in Christ Jesus be proclaimed to troubled souls everywhere.
These are mysteries and offerings to extend your healing in the world.
We bring you our requests for various structures of our society. Bless our national, state, and local governments. Grant prosperity to our businesses and industries. Give employers a sense of fairness toward their workers and employees a feeling of joy and pride in their workmanship.
Help us find satisfaction in all work well done.
Invigorate the schools of our land. Give success to every effort that helps students read, think, and communicate in ways that will promote an informed and responsible citizenry. Arouse curious minds to discover the wonders of your created order.
Give us teachers and students who pursue excellence.
Strengthen the families of our country. Give fathers and mothers a renewed commitment to be good parents. Give children and young people the wisdom to regard their parents as your representatives. Dear Heavenly Father, one of the ways we get to love one another is to remember each other in our needs. And so we ask that you would be with our brother Dan Moeller. We ask that you would give him confidence and comfort as he goes in for his procedure. We ask that you would use it to improve his life, to improve his health. But we, above all, we ask that you would glorify yourself through this surgery. Keep him close to you. Keep his faith strong. And if it is your will, grant the surgery a success. Please be with Stacy and his entire family as they offer up their prayers to you as well. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, we pray boldly as Jesus taught. with the confidence that you will hear, and with the faith that you will respond for our welfare.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please stand as we make our preparations to receive the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
join together to thank God for feeding us through his word as well as through his supper this morning, we do so with the song, Thank the Lord, on page 16. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, now go in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is verses 1, 3, and 6 of hymn 405. Please be seated. Good morning again. Morning to our worship guests. It's great to see some of you again. We enjoyed having you in God's house and sharing the good news that God will, in fact, increase our faith, make us better Christians, and bring blessings into our lives and make us blessings to other people. So may God bless you along those lines in the week ahead. I have a couple of announcements to highlight for you. The first has, and they are all on the sheet, so please make sure you take one of these sheets with you as you go home. There's also the financial support summary through the month of September in the back, so make sure you pick that up as well. I wanted to highlight the Moving Forward with Crossroads paragraph. There's a very brief introduction to this program. In the next weeks, we will give you more and more information leading up to October 28th and 29th. Please get October 28th and 29th on your calendar. The 28th, if you are in a leadership position here at St. Mark's, if you're on the council, or if you are on a ministry board, we will be meeting with Crossroads on October 28th. And then on the 29th, we are going to have a congregational meeting. As many people as possible come and meet with the group as well. Crossroads will share with us the challenges of ministering in an ever-changing and increasingly challenging society. And if you have lived a little bit of life and you look at the community around St. Mark's, we're definitely poised and ready to do that. So this will be a good step, first step in doing that. So we will get to know Crossroads for the next few weeks, and we look forward to meeting with them at the end of the month. As far as what is going on until then, I've been talking with a lot of you, so please continue to speak with me, especially if you have cares, concerns, questions about Crossroads, and if you think that the timeline should be a little bit sooner, come and talk with me. I want to hear what's on your mind and how we can talk about that together. As far as I'm concerned, I cannot do the work of three pastors. I simply cannot. I can't do the work of two. But I can lead you through a vacancy. I can, with your help, with your support, get us to a great point where we understand what are we calling for, what direction are we going, and then God will definitely get us there. So far, the boards have really stepped up. The Board of Worship is doing worship planning and coordinating with our musicians, which we had today, and with our choir. The Board of Elders is ramping up visitation, the encourager visits. We have a full encourager staff. Again, all the shut-in visits were made, so good things are happening there. The Board of Adult Discipleship is essentially functioning independently, and they are providing Bible study and fellowship opportunities. So I need your help, and St. Mark's needs your talents right now. So let me know how you want to help, the ways that you can, and we will do a better job at communicating the ways that you can help too. So great things are happening in our ministry, and we look forward to visiting with Crossroads and then working together towards calling a second pastor. It's a very long way of saying, please get these dates on your calendars already. We have important work to do. Also, the LWMS rally in Vacaville, today is the last day to sign up for that, so please see the LWMS, the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society bulletin board, and get signed up. We have a great opportunity to strengthen a really good ministry at St. Mark's, our Sunday school. There's going to be a Sunday school teacher class October 5th at 6:30 p.m. You can see Mr. O. He's in the back for more info on that. And finally, next Sunday, we're going to have a guest preacher from Wells Kingdom Workers. So Pastor Valesky will be here to share with us the great work we do together through that ministry. And he and his wife, Sally, will present to you during the Bible study hour. So next Sunday, guest preacher and a guest presenter during Bible study. And finally, next Sunday, October 9th, the youth group is going to go take in the corn maze in Dixon. They will leave after Sunday school and return about 3 p.m. Kelly Roush is the contact person for that, so rally up our teens, head out to the corn maze for a good afternoon of fellowship. Those are my announcements, and then there's one more from the Board of Outreach.
Next week, we have an opportunity with lots of visitors, so please make them feel extra welcome.
God bless you in the week ahead, and visit with the Lord if you'd like before you're ushered out, and I'll see you one more time in the lobby.